Listen to the best of the church's music for the Epiphany season at LutheranPublicRadio.org. Sacred music for the Epiphany season, 24/7. LutheranPublicRadio.org.
I think it may just be ignorance of the real situation. I think it may be that people assume that the abortion industry, I mean, we're told that it's healthcare, right? We're constantly told by the abortion industry that they are engaged in vital grassroots healthcare for women. Well, if it's healthcare, they have to be regulated like, say, a surgical center, don't they? They are actually doing surgery of a sort. A deadly surgery, but they're doing that. Don't they have to have admitting privileges for doctors? Are there even doctors in the building of an abortion facility? And if something goes wrong, do they have admitting privileges at the local hospital? Or does the woman have to make her way to the emergency room if she has complications and she's on her own? Well, it turns out that in most states and most abortion facilities, there is less regulation than at a surgical center, of any medical center, probably even a dentist's office or a veterinarian clinic. Why? And why does the industry, why does it resist any regulation, even when it has to do with patients' safety? Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're going to be talking about the need for safety regulations in abortion clinics. Dr. Kathy Altman joins us. She's associate scholar with the Charlotte Lozier Institute, member of the American Association of Pro-Life Obstetricians and Gynecologists, and she's authored a column for USA Today titled, I Was an Abortionist. The Abortion Industry Isn't Willing to Prioritize Patient Safety. Dr. Altman, welcome to Issues Etc.
It's really nice to be here.
How did you get into the abortion business?
Well, what most people don't know is that all OBGYNs have to train in abortions unless they opt out for reasons of conscience. And so it was just a part of my training program.
And over the course of that early part of your medical career, how many abortions do you estimate you performed?
I don't really know. I would say somewhere between 500 and 1,000.
What were your thoughts about abortion at the time?
Well, at the time, I believed that every woman had a right to abortion. I felt that no woman should be forced to bear a child that she didn't want, that we shouldn't bring babies into the world that might be neglected or abused. And we had overpopulation issues already, so I bought into the whole line.
When and why did your mind begin to change?
Well, the first thing that happened was I continued to do abortions. I was moonlighting at a clinic, and I continued to do abortions while I was pregnant. But after I delivered, the very first time I went back to the clinic, I ran into these three patients that basically changed my mind on me doing abortions. And after that, I just didn't feel I could personally do abortions. I didn't feel I could kill a baby just because it wasn't wanted. But it took several years for me to finally move over to the pro-life position.
Was there ever a doubt in your mind that what was happening here was murder? You were killing an unborn child?
I never looked at it that way when I was doing them. I guess I was able to compartmentalize. We were trained in medicine to compartmentalize because so often times we have to do things that are painful to people. And I just compartmentalized it. I didn't really look at the fetus as human. I really didn't see it as any different than a chick embryo, which is interesting because if the baby was wanted, I called it a baby, you know, before it was born, and I was very engaged with it. But if the baby wasn't wanted, then I dehumanized it. I really had no remorse over killing it. I felt it was a necessary procedure, and I sort of had this black-white switch, you know, that would click depending on whether the baby was wanted or not.
So that central realization that the only difference between the babies in the womb was whether or not someone wanted them was kind of key for you in changing your mind about abortion.
Yes, yes. It was making that sort of baby-fetus connection. I think the fact of being pregnant, feeling that baby in my uterus, and then having the baby and seeing how wonderful she was. When I went back to the clinic, my responses were different. When I approached certain situations, my responses indicated to me that at that point, I did begin to think of them as people.
You say that it was a while before you were actually pro-life. How did that come about?
Well, I think the first thing that happened was that in my practice, I saw young girls who did really well after keeping their unplanned pregnancies, and then I was seeing complications from abortions, and I was seeing women come in who were seeing psychiatrists and having emotional problems because of their abortions, and that ran contrary to the sort of feminist propaganda that I had bought into, and I think it was sort of a little chink in my pro-abortion armor. Then I met, there were a couple of children in my church who were born that were from unplanned pregnancies. One was a Down syndrome baby. And as I watched those children grow up and saw how wonderful they were, I thought about the fact that they could so easily have been aborted. And it, again, it made me think about them in terms of being people. And then finally, it was interesting. I became a Christian, but I still kept my views on abortion. But it was Christian friends, maybe a year or so later, who had the courage to approach me. And one man said, I know your position on abortion, but would you read this article? And it was an article that compared abortion to the Holocaust. And my father was with the unit that liberated the first concentration camp during World War II. And so I had grown up with all those pictures and stories, and I never could understand how the German doctors could do what they did when I became a physician. But in reading that article and reading that comparison, I suddenly realized that they could do what they did because for the same reason I could do what I did. I didn't consider them human beings. And that was the point where I realized that I was a mass murderer, and that was devastating, but that was the point where I truly became pro-life.
We're talking with Dr. Kathy Altman, author of a column for USA Today titled, I Was an Abortionist, the Abortion Industry Isn't Willing to Prioritize Patient Safety. When we come back, we'll find out what she saw in the emergency room post-abortion.
The Simply Classical curriculum for special needs moves at my child's pace and gives her exactly what she needs. So writes Amber, a homeschooling mother who has joined thousands in homes and schools teaching from this uniquely Christian classical approach to special education. Teach students with autism, learning disabilities, or Down syndrome based on ability level rather than chronological age. Use promo code LPR20 today at classicalspecialneeds.com. Classicalspecialneeds.com.
Talk radio for the thinking Christian. You're listening to Issues Etc.
This is Pastor Clint Poppy, Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Lincoln, Nebraska, proud supporter of Issues Etc. Each month we host the Nebraska Lutherans for Confessional Study, a serious study of Lutheran theology. We generally meet on the fourth Thursday of each month from 9:30 to 2:30, and both clergy and laity are invited. There is no charge to attend. For more information, please call the church office or visit our website, goodshepherdlincoln.org, and click on the green NLCS tab.
You can compare what each gospel writer wrote about Jesus and his ministry in the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for January. It's titled Jesus, A Study of the Words of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Browse before you buy at issuesetc.org or call Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040. Jesus, A Study on the Words of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, costs $14.99. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for January, Jesus, A Study on the Words of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. We're discussing the need for safety regulations in abortion clinics with Dr. Kathy Altman, author of a column for USA Today titled, I Was an Abortionist. The abortion industry isn't willing to prioritize patient safety. I'm Todd Wilkin. You're listening to Issues Etc. The Lutheran Church Missouri Synod Life Ministry invites you to walk with fellow Lutherans at the National March for Life in Washington, D.C. this Friday, January the 24th. You can learn more at lcms.org/life. lcms.org/life. Dr. Altman, as a gynecologist that was on call in a hospital emergency room, what did you see by way of post-abortion complications?
Most of it was bleeding, pain, infection. We did have one girl come through the emergency room. I didn't see her myself. She was immediately shipped off to the general surgeons, but the abortionist had perforated her uterus, and it was apparently, it must have been a D&E or dismemberment type abortion, but he perforated her uterus and pulled out a piece of her small bowel out into her vagina. And so she had to be rushed to the OR immediately.
How do you respond to abortion apologists who say that cases like Kermit Gosnell or Ulrich Klopfer recently in the news were exceptions that prove the rule, that most abortion facilities are safe and well-regulated?
Well, I don't believe that. I think there are some abortion clinics that are probably relatively safe. I think the abortion clinic where I worked, I think they did a good job of trying to have fairly good standards, but I don't know that that's the norm. I recently met this last year, I met a woman who was an administrator at one of the Planned Parenthood clinics, and when the sterilizer went down, she was going to close the clinic, and they said, no, we want you to keep the clinic open, just use dishwashing detergent when to clean the instruments. And she did. Now, that was one of the reasons she eventually left, was because of, you know, sloppy standards. But that was appalling to me.
Why aren't abortion clinics held to the same safety and health standards as medical facilities?
I think it's political that people are so afraid they'll be accused of being anti-choice. And there's been a tremendous effort on the part of Planned Parenthood to prevent any regulation of abortion clinics. Recently, I was talking to someone on Focus on the Family, and they were relating some of the regulations on pregnancy centers who just do ultrasounds or do pregnancy tests, and they were required to have a physician with hospital privileges available to them or overseeing them, whereas that's not the case with abortion clinics most of the time.
You just mentioned this. Why does the abortion industry oppose further safety and health regulations?
Well, they just don't want any regulations, anything that's going to prevent them from doing what they want.
So why is the abortion industry so often not required to report on post-abortion complications?
Again, I think it's political. In Florida, they are not required to report complications at all. At least they haven't been in the past. And the reason they don't want to report complications is because then it's very easy to say, oh, this is one of the safest procedures out there. And they can say that because they don't have to report complications. And we have no idea. All the times that I saw complications in the emergency room, there was never a mechanism for me to report any of that.
So when we hear abortion is safe, there really is no data, even from the abortion industry itself, to back that up.
There really isn't any good data, no.
As a bare minimum, what do abortion facilities need to ensure the safety of the women who pass their doors?
Well, if it were up to me, they would have to have the same standards in their clinic as surgery centers do. I think it should be a physician who can handle the complications for abortion, because sometimes it's extremely sudden. Sometimes all of a sudden a woman will begin hemorrhaging, and you'd better know how to handle that kind of an emergency and have a relationship with a hospital where you can get her for emergency care. So I think having a physician who has hospital privileges, I personally feel they should be, it should be a board certified OBGYN who can then handle the complications and the same surgical standards that any surgery center would have.
Do you think that we're moving that direction? Do you think that at least incrementally, the abortion industry is going to be more regulated?
That entirely depends on our politicians. I mean, there's a massive kickback, or there's a massive reaction from the abortion industry, you know, trying to overthrow any kind of regulation. So on the one hand, in some states, you see an improvement in that area, but in other states, they're trying to get rid of any regulation of abortion and basically wanting to make abortion a right just in case Roe v. Wade fails. They want no restrictions.
So is the abortion industry safe?
I don't feel it is at the current moment. No, I don't.
Do you think that pro-lifers and pro-choicers, again, maybe not industry insiders, but the average citizen who falls on one side or the other of that debate and that moral issue, do you think that they can come together and agree at least on abortion facility safety?
I do. I think that's the one area where everybody can agree. I think the problem is that those who are pro-choice or pro-abortion are concerned that any sort of regulation is an encroachment, an infringement, an incremental step to try to eliminate abortion. And so they are very resistant to anything along that line.
Dr. Kathy Altman is associate scholar with the Charlotte Loser Institute. She's a member of the American Association of Pro-Life Obstetricians and Gynecologists, and she's author of a column for USA Today titled, "I Was an Abortionist, The Abortion Industry Isn't Willing to Prioritize Patient Safety." You'll find a link to the Charlotte Loser Institute under the Talk on Demand archives page at issuesetc.org. Dr. Altman, thank you very much.
You're welcome. It was great to talk with you today.
In Hour 2 of Issues Etc., Joy Pullman will join us, managing editor of The Federalist. We'll talk with her about a Supreme Court case being heard by the High Court on taxpayer funds for private schools. Then Molly Hemingway of Fox News joins us for an update on the impeachment trial of President Donald Trump.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Trinity Orchard Farm is settled between two rivers showing the way to the water of life. For worship that is reverent, relevant, and refreshing like pure water, or for excellent education in a unique setting, check out our church and school. We're just 5 miles north of Highway 370 on Highway 94 in St. Charles County. Visit us on the web at trinityorchardfarm.com. That's trinityorchardfarm.com. Our phone number is 636-250-3350.